Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin this season of repentance, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be present among us through the proclamation of your word, that he may enter each of our hearts and consciences and bring us to a knowledge of our many sins before you, that we may once again be led to the cross of our Redeemer, your chosen servant who has come to save and rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Grant us faith in him and help us also to walk in newness of life by the power of his resurrection. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and his kindness and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Redeemer. Amen. Many years ago, I was at a youth gathering in the summer, and a couple of female counselors came up to talk to me, and they were bothered by the fact that one of the 15-year-old girls who was in this large gathering was every day, if not every twice a day, going around and finding a new boyfriend and kind of acting as though she was falling in love with a boy, and then sure enough the next day it'd be another one she was holding hands with, and later that afternoon another guy she was sitting on his lap and wanted me to go and talk to her about this. Got to the point during the week that some of the boys themselves, even though she was rather nice looking, were getting kind of tired of all this. Fickleness is not a real attractive trait. St. Peter, in the text that was just read tonight, demonstrates a spiritual fickleness, a fickleness that flits back and forth between Christ, supporting him, loving him, wanting to obey him, and his own sinful heart that wants to fit into the sinful world. Peter is quite a picture of our sinful human nature. Think of him. At one point, he is so firm in his conviction about Christ as his Lord that he stands up boldly in front of all of the disciples and he says, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Consider in his life the things that he had probably given up to follow Christ for these past 3 years. Maybe part of his income, relationships with family. Could be that some of his own family members were upset with him because he now loved and followed this Messiah. Only hours beforehand, from the text that we just read, he had been receiving the wonderful sacrament from our Lord, following the Passover celebration, receiving the very body and blood of his Savior, given and shed for him. He had just sung a hymn of praise with Jesus and the disciples. They had gone out to be with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had been so bold, in fact, when the people come to arrest Jesus, that he whips out his sword and he strikes a man in the face to try to defend Jesus from being attacked and hauled off by a crowd. And now here he sits at the fire and he wants nothing to do with Jesus. What happened? What happened in the meantime from standing there holding that stupid sword in his hand to now sitting by the fire? What happened? How few of hours transpired? What happened in his heart and in his mind and in his soul that would make him all of a sudden be so fickle when it comes to his relationship to Christ? I don't know the man. To the point of calling down curses on his head as far as his relationship to Christ. What a picture of me. What a picture of us. How fickle we are with God. How fickle we can be with this Savior. And all that he's done for us. And all that he's won for us. And all that he's promised us. And all that he's given us. And the future that we have because of him. But how fickle our hearts can be. How fickle my mind and conscience can be when it comes to this Savior. How much in love with him and his kingdom and his word and his sacraments I can be on the one hand, and yet just so weak about it on the other. Martin Luther used to go and confess his sins to an old man by the name of John Staupitz. And Staupitz said this: More than 1,000 times I have vowed to God that I would improve, but I've never performed what I have vowed. Peter, after he fell, went and sat and thought about his fickleness and went off and cried. When you sit and meditate sometimes on just how far away from Christ we can go, how far away from God our sinful hearts and minds can be sometimes. Sometimes it might actually produce tears in us too. What kind of Christian am I supposed to be? What kind of child of God is this? I'm baptized in his name, and yet I can act the way I do and talk the way I do and have the kinds of pollution run through my mind the way it does. Sometimes it's hard to look at ourselves in the mirror. And it's not just little baby sins. It's big, grown-up, adult, fat sins that come out of us, too. There's an artist by the name of Carl Bloch, a Danish artist from the 1800s, who painted many scenes from Jesus' passion history. And one of my favorite is the one where Jesus is being hauled off between that scene of the trial with Caiaphas and then being hauled off to Pilate. And on the way, he turns and looks at Peter, and Peter's in the foreground, and he's turned away from Christ, just completely ashamed. And the eyes of Christ looking at Jesus are so interesting. They're not mad. They're just so disappointed. St. Paul says this: the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so they do not do what you want. How many times in my life could Christ have looked at me with very disappointed eyes? Conflict is what Paul describes here in this statement I just read. Conflict, two forces standing opposite each other, both holding swords and fighting and dueling it out. And each one is trying to kill the other inside of us. Conflict. And St. Peter in our text epitomizes this struggle that takes place inside of Christians, the old Adam and the new man. And sometimes the tension gets so fierce that you can almost feel it in your chest. You can feel it in your heart. King David said, "Day and night your hand was heavy upon me." Sometimes the believer is so pressed down by this conflict and this fighting inside of him, this fickleness back and forth, this struggle that goes on, that he feels like he's going to give up. And he's convinced that he can't possibly be a Christian, because this isn't how Christians act. But the pain caused by that agitation and that irritation in us, that pain is an indication that something is alive in you. It's an indication that faith is alive and genuine and active. An author named J.P. Kaler says this: "The warfare is a sign that someone is a Christian. Where this warfare does not exist, we must assume that the man has not yet been regenerated." And that's comforting to know. In this same night of the text that we just read earlier, our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Does he know us or what? Does he know me or what? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But isn't it comforting to know that that's what he knows about his believers? He knows that about us. And he still loves us. He still forgives us. He still cares about us. One of my seminary profs used to say this over and over again. It got beat into my head: "Be careful not to paint a false picture of a Christian as if he never sins." Be careful not to paint a false picture of a Christian as if he never sins. If you look at the patriarchs in the Old Testament, God makes sure in every one of their cases to give us a little glimpse into their spiritual problems, to show us that they all struggled with something. They all struggled with some sin. Because God didn't want us walking away from the Bible thinking that certain people got to heaven because they were good. They likewise were saved only by His grace. And that's the only way you and I, wicked, sinful, weak, fickle people like us, can get to heaven too, is only by His grace. When you no longer sense the internal tension in your heart between your old Adam and your new man, that's when the danger sign is. That's when things are dangerous. When we hear of St. Peter's denial in our text and thinking of this big fisherman from Galilee going out and crying out his eyes, it makes us remember the end of that story, how our Lord Jesus came and reinstated him following his resurrection. And we think how tenderly and gently our Lord dealt with Peter at that time. There was no harshness in his voice. When you maybe come to the point in your spiritual life when you think the flame of your love for Christ is flickering and it's ready to burn out and there's hardly anything left, and that Christ maybe would have no time for somebody as weak and sinful as you are, then listen to the words of Isaiah. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. Thanks be to God. Amen.